Welcome, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is my radio show every Wednesday afternoon at 5 for the last 9 years and 2 months. I've come down to 14 Lower Freeborn on the campus of the University of California at Davis to share with you my thoughts on topics poetical and technological. Sometimes we stray. We move into the world's political or even danceological. I made that word up, but we will have a chance to talk about dance today, as in theater and dance. I'm scheduled to be joined this afternoon by two great dancers, choreographers, and dance teachers. Jess Curtin, who lives and works in San Francisco and Berlin, Germany, has created a body of work ranging from the underground extremes of Mission District warehouses with contraband and core to the formal refinement and exuberance of European state theaters and circus tents with Kompanyi Kahin Kaha and Jess Curtis Gravity. Nina Galen is a dance theater artist, a somatic educator, and body-mind philosopher. She's interested in the notion of categories, perhaps because she can't seem to fit into one. I empathize. I, Dr. Andy, in addition to hosting this radio show, teach classes for the University Writing Program at UC Davis, the English Department, and for Technicultural Studies. I also teach classes a couple quarters a year for our freshman seminar, which is a purposefully uncategorizable collection of classes that fit better the avocations of individual instructors rather than the vocations. This quarter, for instance, I'm teaching a class called Writing About the Future, where my young honors freshman students must both respond to representations of the future and the present, whether they be nonfiction or fictional or cinematic, and then also try to imagine not only their own futures as creative professionals someday, but also the future 10, 20, even 50 years from now of different topics, different themes, different disciplines, different vocations and avocations that are important to them. It's a freshman seminar that I'm teaching this quarter. Freshman seminars are facilitated by the Teaching Resources Center, where I also run programs such as the Summer Institute on Teaching and Technology. Once a year, the More Thoughtful Teaching Symposia, and every week the meetings of the Faculty Mentoring Faculty Program. But wait, that's not all. I'm also a published poet who's very active in promoting poetry here in the city of Davis with KDVS DJ, on-air personality, and man about town, Ron Glick. I also wrote the legislation that later became the position description of the Poet Laureate in the city of Davis. A candidate for that position has been told that she's been chosen. We just need to hear from various subcommittees, committees, and I think finally the city council to approve that honorary position. As soon as that happens, I'll make sure to introduce you all to the new Poet Laureate of the city of Davis. These are some of the things that swirl around in my head, along with avant-garde jazz from Chicago. On a Wednesday afternoon, really every afternoon, and in my waking moments between midnight and 6 a.m., I'm often finding my sleep interrupted by new plans, new initiatives. new possibilities. And every Wednesday afternoon at 5, I gather them together and present them, often in their inchoate state, to you, KDBS listeners, folks who have come together around your radios, in vehicles, in kitchens, and in bedrooms, to listen to 60 minutes of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'm glad you're here. We'll be back after more avant-garde jazz and an important message. Stick around. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Just a reminder that later on in the program, we will hear from choreographers Jess Curtis and Nina Galen. They are part of a performance that you can begin to enjoy this coming weekend, for February 12th and 13th, and then next weekend, February 19th and 20th, 8 p.m., and then on February 21st, there'll be a matinee at 2 p.m. The title is Interdisciplinary MFA Choreographies Premiere at the Vanderhoof Studio Theater. You know, Larry Vanderhoof himself has been known to write poems on occasion. I should get him down here, now that he has a little bit more time on his hands, and have him share with all of you. Take a few questions about poetry. I'm sure that wouldn't make him uncomfortable. Amy Champ is here in the studio. I've invited her by to talk about her philanthropic work. We were talking off mic a moment ago about the ways that one can use networks of various sorts, networks enabled by websites, by Facebook, to get the word out about people who need our help, not too far away, but really an entire world away, and things that we can do to participate in their support. Amy Champ, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you are a PhD candidate in performance studies?
That's correct.
And how long have you been at UC Davis?
I've been here for 2 years, and I just finished my exams. Yay.
Congratulations. That's great. So for people who don't know, what's entailed in a PhD in performance studies?
We take a lot of cultural theory, so it's kind of a broad-based interdisciplinary program that incorporates looking at performance in everyday life through anthropology and women's studies, and we also look at a lot of theater and dance.
Excellent. So does that mean that you get to spend some time as you're working towards your PhD on stage?
You can.
Yeah.
A lot of us do. I happen to do yoga, so okay. I spend a lot of my time on the floor.
All right. On the floor instead of up on stage. Mm-hmm. And tell me about the connection between yoga and performance.
Right. Well, what I'm looking at is the performance of yoga in women's lives and mm-hmm. how women who teach yoga and kind of make that their lifestyle, how their lives are kind of changed through that, and then how they become community leaders based on transformations that occur within themselves.
Interesting. Do you know Aaron Dunning of Bikram Yoga here in the city of Davis? I should arrange a virtual meeting. She's, where is that? I think that's L Street over there, kind of on the eastern side of town between 4th and 5th on L. Aaron Dunning is one of the proprietors there. And I have a number of friends who have told me that at Bikram Yoga, during the hour and a half long sessions at 105 degrees, magical things happen for them. And so I think Aaron would be a good person for you to talk to in your research.
Yes. In fact, it's right around the corner from my house, and that's the yoga studio that I go to in Davis.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Well, let's talk more about the reason that you're here, and that is your philanthropic work on behalf of the people of Haiti. Tell me what's inspired this work and some of what you've done.
Right. Well, as I said, my research is primarily about women in yoga, and I'm very interested in this idea of selfless service, mm-hmm. and especially people who, through their religious beliefs, become kind of volunteers for really humanitarian causes. And so I actually started working with different groups from different religions, coming up with kind of an interfaith group where we're all networking together to answer the need for tents in Haiti.
And explain to folks at home who might not know, why are tents in particular so important?
It's really important now because what's happened is we've donated millions of dollars. There's been, according to the Chronicle of Philanthropy, $644 million that have been raised. However, the sheer need for tents kind of exceeds the capacity of these organizations to provide them fast enough. You have every organization that goes into there is providing logistical support. They're providing food, water, communication systems, bathrooms. They're employing people. They're clearing rubble. There's just a lot of unanswered needs, and tents happens to be one of them.
I know as well that many of the buildings that were structurally unsound but did not fall down after the terrible earthquake in Haiti have been deemed unsafe for habitation. And so a lot of people, even who are still in their homes, are being asked to leave those homes.
Yes, it's really true. In fact, one of our team members on the ground there yesterday, they just came across a village of people of 60,000 that had yet to receive any aid, and a hotel collapsed there while they were there for the first day with the U.S. Marine Corps.
Wow.
So it's pretty serious.
Absolutely. So tell me the name of the organization that you're working with and supporting.
What we've done is we've created a new name for an organization to corral all these different groups together. It's called A Home in Haiti, and our website will be launching tonight at ahomeinhaiti.org.
Great. And how about on Facebook? If you use Facebook as a means to get the word out about this?
Yes, we're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ahomeinhaiti. And what we really want people to do is we have two options. One is we're looking for people throughout the country to set up sites, and we have a core network of about 50 volunteers right now that have different sites around the country. We're going to have a site where the website where we post all of these drop sites where people can actually bring down a tent. If they have an extra tent in their garage, or if they want to go to Walmart or Target and buy a tent, they can do that and bring it down. And we're going to help all these sites across the country coordinate shipping to the headquarters in Atlanta. And we've already secured shipping on boats and airplanes to get all of these tents to Haiti.
Amazing. Great. Well, when we come back from hearing this important public service announcement, I'm going to ask you to remind folks how they can participate and the information on Facebook and the web one more time. But before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, here's an important message about the Linux Users Group of Davis. Stick around for the rest of our chat with Amy Champ here this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Quick reminder that Jess Curtis and Nina Gallen are going to be here before long after we conclude our conversation this afternoon with PhD candidate in performance studies and local philanthropist and yoga advocate. What's the noun that you attach to yourself when it comes to your relationship with yoga? Is there a yogi? Yogi, there you go. Of course, and yogi Amy Champ. She's here in the studio, and we're talking a little bit about work that she and many others are doing to help to meet the needs of people in Haiti, especially their need for tents. So. Amy, we were talking a little bit off mic about an additional way that people can participate and a way that Amazon.com is getting involved. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Yes, through our website, which we'll be launching tonight. So if you don't get the full website in the next hour or so, just hang on until tomorrow morning. It's ahomeinhaiti.org. And we have a link on there where we have a wish list of tents that we've picked out at Amazon.com. And Amazon is actually giving us 5% off of all these tents and discounted shipping. Our address is on there, the headquarters in Atlanta, so you can order the tent online. It'll ship directly to us, and then we will put it on a boat going to Haiti.
Excellent. And remind us one more time the Facebook group as well as the website URL.
That's right. It's facebook.com/ahomeinhaiti, or you can go to our website, ahomeinhaiti.org, or you can follow me on Twitter.
Right.
And I'm Amy Champ on Twitter.
And we follow each other on Twitter. How long have you been on Twitter?
About a year.
And any surprising discoveries or interesting connections that you want to exemplify?
Yeah, I think the most probably important thing has been through this crisis over the past month in Haiti that I've realized that the power of real-time communications are very important. There were a lot of people who were desperate for information in Haiti that were volunteers who had gone there. From organizations to individuals to everyone on the ground that needed information that they could not get out of computers. They did not have access to GPS. So they were actually asking people on Twitter for information, and we were providing it so that people could then get resources like food, water, etc.
That's amazing. And, okay, good. And it's a home for Haiti.
Home in Haiti.
A home in Haiti. .org, and that website will be up this evening. We were talking a little bit about an event that you're participating in on March 5th, which, like much of the rest of the work you do, is cross-disciplinary. And I'm wondering if you could give folks some information about that.
Yes, this is a really, really interesting idea for a conference. It's called the Religion, Literature, and the Arts Conference. It will be in Voorhees Hall all day. And it's basically bringing these three disciplines together to discuss what is the role of the arts in religion. Because through our religious studies department, we have many people exploring theological and cultural and political realities, but we feel like there's a real need to bring forth in the arts how religion plays out in that, and also how people who are artistic incorporate religion into their practices.
Excellent. And that's March 5th, all day, in 126 Voorhees, at the corner of 1st and A Streets in the city of Davis. Well, Amy Champ, I know you've been listening to the show for a while. I very much appreciate that, and it's a pleasure to meet you in person and to hear more about the important work that you're doing on behalf of the people of Haiti.
We really thank you, Dr. Andy. It's such a great honor to be here, and we really, really appreciate your support.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with a little bit more talk about the arts, broadly defined. We'll bring dance in here. But first, an important message from KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
From March 11th to the 21st, you're invited to the 28th Asian and Asian American Film Festival.
Film Festival.
It includes films from
Korea,
Thailand,
Japan,
the Philippines,
and more.
For more information, visit www.asianamericanmedia.org.
Film Festival.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. The UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance will present two new choreographies by graduating MFA candidates. Award-winning choreographer Jess Curtis delivers a section from Dances for Nonfictional Bodies, created in collaboration with an international team of multidisciplinary performers. Nina Gallen's Jointedness is a dance theater music work that explores different senses of joint, a point of clear articulation, a meeting place, a collaboration. This MFA choreography double bill opens on February 12th and continues February 13th, and then next weekend as well, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st, at the Vanderhoof Studio Theater, Mondavi Center for the Performing Arts. Nina Gallen and Joshua Harrelson are both here to talk about their participation in these upcoming works, and I'm very pleased that they could join me. Nina, let's start with you. Welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks, Dr. Andy.
It's great to have you here. Now, tell me a little bit more about the work that we'll get to see starting this weekend at the Vanderhoof Studio Theater at the Mondavi Center.
The work is in three sections. Mm-hmm. I'm referring to it as a triptych. So there are three sections that can stand alone, but they also relate to each other. The first section is a solo that I actually premiered last spring. That's a movement theater piece that uses Shakespeare's To Be or Not to Be mm-hmm. soliloquy. Overall deals with... The solo is called Life Among the Institutions. Mm-hmm. They're referring to cultural institutions like Shakespeare and conventions of theater and institutions like University of California or correctional system,
right.
Healthcare systems, like big institutional entities that are part of all of our lives and how... it's kind of my meditation, exploration, engagement with how I reconcile my individual life with my life as part of a community on the one hand or an institution on the other hand. And then there's a second solo that a new piece that it made for MFA actor James Marchbanks
mm-hmm.
that's... I'm not supposed to pause. It's a piece that it's also, I would say, movement theater more than dance per se. And it happens in a kind of an enclosed, we create an enclosed area for the performer on stage with these very tall white panels that are partially translucent. So the audience is actually encouraged or invited to get up out of their seats for that piece and to walk around the performance area as though in a gallery and look in the spaces in between these panels or the shadows that play on the panels from the lighting is
interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. That so that piece juxtaposes a poem by Rilke
mm-hmm.
and a podcast of the business show Marketplace.
I'm familiar with it. Comes on 6:30 in the evening on
yeah.
Local NPR affiliate here.
So those two texts are really, really different in tone and kind of their juxtaposition, their harmonies and dissonances are kind of what I'm working with. So in a way, it's exploring similar themes as Life Among the Institutions.
Excellent.
And the third piece is a quartet that Joshua is part of, and there are two other dancers who are also students at UC Davis. And that piece also jumps off from the To Be or Not to Be text. And in that one, it's set to music, and I sing it
mm-hmm.
while I climb down a piece of cargo netting from 20 feet above the audience wearing a long red evening gown.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Do you feel safe during that entire performance?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Glad to hear it. Well, let's now that you mentioned Joshua, let's welcome Joshua Harrelson to the program and get his perspective. Hi, Joshua.
Hi.
thanks very much for coming on the radio show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So tell me about some of the preparations that you've done to participate in this piece and the extent to which you think that those preparations were adequate.
Well,
what kind of a question is that?
Yeah, it was plenty adequate, and we still have tech rehearsals, three nights a week. We get to work in the performance space now when we've been practicing elsewhere up until about a week ago.
Right.
And it's very exciting. Nina's been working with us, the three dancers, working on being very interconnected with each other so that we can kind of sense each other and flow with each other really well during the piece. And now that we're in the actual performance space, I think it's coming together a lot nicer.
Excellent. And did you have any conceptions or preconceptions about what sort of show it would be? And what sort of things have you learned along the way?
Well, to be honest, I kind of became part of this a little bit out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
I am in one of Nina's classes, and she emailed me and said, I'm looking for three dancers to be in my piece. How about it? And I said, sure, why not? And when we got together, she kind of told me a bit about it, but I had no idea the scope that it would entail, because I didn't really grasp the fact that it was an actual big, several-week-long show for her thesis project.
Right.
So I'm kind of pleasantly pleased that I get to be part of something so very intense.
So this is
fabulous.
Yeah. And so this is a big deal for you.
Yeah, especially since I'm not usually much of a dance person. I'm actually not in the department.
Yeah.
I'm a biochemistry senior here at UC Davis. So this is a little bit outside of my normal range of things. But
you're martial artists.
Yes. Most of my experience comes from some high school dancing and from studying jiu-jitsu in Woodland for the past couple of years.
Excellent. So, and for people who don't know, you spend more time when you're a practitioner of jiu-jitsu on the ground and grappling and pinning and binding your opponent, rather than usually, say, focusing on striking and kicking.
That's absolutely correct, especially at my rank that I've been doing it a couple of years. The beginning sections are focused a little bit more on standing arts, arm locks, escaping from holds, and lots of throwing techniques. And then it develops into grappling and then into the deeper techniques, which I'm not too familiar with just yet.
Yeah, excellent. Good for you. Do you feel that there's been a connection between what you might have learned about discipline and focus and concentration in jiu-jitsu and either participating in this dance work or other work that you've done as a student at UC Davis?
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
Without question, because without my martial arts training, actually a little bit of the martial arts crosses over into the dance very uniquely, to the point of actually using some of my jiu-jitsu training for some of the dance work, which I think is very nice. And just in general, I find that it helps me be able to focus on my work a lot better in general life and in Nina's pieces.
Excellent. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. And we're talking about a UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance presented a pair of choreographies by graduating MFA candidates. One is choreographer Jess Curtis, and the other is Nina Gallen. Her piece, Jointedness, is a dance theater music work that explores different senses of the word joint, and you'll get to you have an opportunity to see these two pieces this coming weekend at the Vanderhoof Studio Theater of the Mondavi Center on UC Davis campus, as well as next weekend, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. We're going to take a quick break and hear an important message, and then when we return, We will ask Nina Gallen a few questions about her interest in and connections to poetry by Shakespeare and others here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around for that.
Experts at the National MS Society have some strategies for taming stress. Simplify your life. Relax. Learn to say no. Do the unpleasant things early in the day so you don't have to worry about them. Schedule rest periods and finally learn to laugh at yourself. Multiple sclerosis, or MS, is a chronic, unpredictable disease of the central nervous system. To find out more about the National MS Society, call 1-800-FIGHT-MS or visit www.nationalmssociety.org.
Back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I've received word recently that there is going to be a book release party for the Undergraduate Journal of Creative Writing here at the University of California, Davis. It's called Nameless Magazine, and every year they have a release of a very fancy-looking journal. And this particular winter, that event will take place on February 18th, Thursday the 18th, at the John Nitzulis Gallery. That's from 8 until 10 p.m. at 521 First Street. This is part of the Poetry Night at Bistro 33 series, though this event will take place at the gallery. It is co-sponsored by Nameless Magazine, the John Nitzulis Gallery, and Bistro 33. There'll be food, there'll be drink. It's undergraduate sponsored, so it'll be lemonade and such, maybe smoothies. And there will be live music, I hear. Perhaps even Brad Henderson is going to show up with his drum set. So that is February 18th at the John Nitzulis Gallery from 8 until 10 p.m., a celebration of the latest edition of the undergraduate journal Nameless. This afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, Nina Gallen and Joshua Harrelson are here, and we're talking about an upcoming piece that Nina has created. It's called Jointedness, and it will be performed starting this coming Friday and Saturday evening at the Mondavi Center, and then the following Friday, Saturday evenings and Sunday matinee shows. So, Nina Gallen, and I threatened to ask you a question earlier about poetry. So let me follow up on that. To be or not to be is probably one of the most famous phrases that we associate with Shakespeare. He wrote a great number of other phrases that we've forgotten that Shakespeare wrote, but that one is we associate with him when we speak it. Tell me why that was important or central or inspirational to you, both with the piece that you performed a number of months ago and also what we'll get to see this weekend, if we can.
Yeah, I got really fascinated with that text or fell in love with that text when I was involved with a production of Hamlet a couple of years ago, working on that as a choreographer and movement coach. And the director of that production staged the whole production was really interesting, ensemble-focused show, that were multiple actors playing each role, mm-hmm. On stage together at the same time, so they split up the lines and kind of as though they were like aspects, you know, different aspects of the same person. And he chose to have the whole ensemble of like 15 or 20 perform To Be or Not To Be, and also did it as the opening of the whole play instead of having Hamlet do it in the third act or whatever
right.
it is.
I think it is the third act.
And so it was this very powerful ensemble performance, each actor or actress taking one line of the thing and doing it, but with such awareness and intention between each other. And in a way that he had, that he made it easier for them to all learn the speech, was to print out big 11x17 pages with the soliloquy on it, and they were posted like all around the rehearsal space. And I just really was attracted to the text and found it fascinating. And I took some of those copies and I had it like in my car for months, and I just like became very, I don't know, it just kind of burrowed its way into me. And something about the language itself, the poetic language itself, seemed very beautiful to me. And there's some beautiful turns of phrase, the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, mm-hmm. or the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns. So I just wanted to get to know it.
Right.
So I've gotten to know it really, really well. So my piece is really, that piece was about exploring that text in a variety of ways. And somehow it seemed to be not directly, but in some indirect way, it was meaningful to me in terms of this personal issue about trying to make sense of myself in relationship to an institution,
mm-hmm.
namely the university, really. I might as well call a spade a spade. And then I'm also a singer, and I just wanted to have singing as part of my thesis concert. And I thought, well, I'm not really done with this To Be or Not To Be text. I could sing that. But I wasn't prepared to set it to music. So I commissioned a wonderful composer named Mark Groudon, who made a vocal setting of the text. Starts out, "To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune." It goes on through the whole text. It's a really beautiful kind of art song.
Uh-huh.
So that's how that came about.
Wonderful. It, whenever I reread that soliloquy, I'm reminded of how many authors have chosen book titles from different lines from that bit of Shakespeare. So you mentioned The Undiscovered Country, for instance, and that's the name of a book. And you can see that over and over again in different lines of that particular monologue. One trick of introductory literature teachers is to find four different actors presenting the soliloquy on YouTube, and then looking to see how Kenneth Branagh does it differently from, say, Mel Gibson, who does it differently from Laurence Olivier, and all the things that literature students, usually not English majors, can learn about literature and about Shakespeare from watching these performers interpret them in different ways. But none of those interpretations are as distinctive as yours, I would say. And so I look forward to seeing what you're going to be doing with it again this coming weekend. And then I'll be seeing you both on stage a week from Saturday. And if you're just joining us, we've been hearing from Nina Gallen. And she's put together a piece that's going to be performed this coming weekend. It's one of two choreographies, one by Jess Curtis called Dances from Nonfictional Bodies, and one by Nina Gallen called Jointedness. February 12th and 13th, and then 19th through the 21st at the Vanderhoof Studio Theater. We are, I haven't read your complete biography yet, Nina, so maybe I'll do that when we return and I'll ask you a question about one element of it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Novozymes Incorporated reminds listeners that breast cancer is now the number one cause of death for women between the ages of 15 and 54. And it doesn't have to be. Early diagnosis can mean that you'll have an excellent chance of becoming a survivor. Don't delay. Get tested today. This important reminder is brought to you by Novozymes Incorporated in Davis, another fine area business actively involved in our community. Oh, We've been chatting this afternoon with Nina Gallen. She's the author, creator of Jointedness, which you'll get to see this coming weekend and the following weekend. Nina Gallen is a dance theater artist, somatic educator, and body-mind philosopher. She's interested in the notion of categories, perhaps because she can't seem to fit into one. She generates and disseminates her interdisciplinary work using movement, talking, singing, touch, writing, breathing, and listening. From 1991 to 2002, she was based in San Francisco, directing her company Nina Gallen Music and Dance, and maintaining a private bodywork practice based in Alexander Technique, Pilates, connective tissue massage, and other modalities. During this time, she also performed in the work of other artists, including Deborah Slater, Ney Fonseca, Ellie Herman, Tracy Rhodes, and a traveling Jewish theater. She is the recipient of prestigious awards, including the San Francisco Arts Commission Special Projects Grant and Hitachi America's Community Action Committee Grant. Her name is Nina Gallen, and she is here with Joshua Harrelson here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, KDVS. And we're very pleased to have a chance to talk to her about her work. I know what the Alexander Technique is because when I was 11 years old, my mom took my brother and me off to, it was a home in rural Maine that was all about learning about the Alexander Technique for, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. It was one of the last things I did before becoming a vegetarian. So I felt like even though I was not practiced on as a kid, I felt it kind of laid the groundwork for the later philosophical and spiritual choices that I was about to make as a brash 12-year-old. And here you are after this career in San Francisco, doing all these interesting things. Tell me about the motivation to enter an institution after being free of them to a certain extent in San Francisco for all those years, to the extent that any of us can be free of institutions.
The motivation is money.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I'm totally in it for the money.
I bet. Like all artists.
Yeah, pretty much. And like all body workers.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I'm totally driven by a profit motive.
Sure. I can imagine that. Why why UC Davis? What brought you to Davis in particular?
I was recovering from a PhD, an aborted PhD program at another UC,
mm-hmm.
Where I had also basically done all the work for an MFA in choreography. It's a sordid tale that I won't give the details of here, but I wanted to see if there was some way that I could get the degree,
right.
The MFA degree. And I had heard some things about, some good things about UC Davis, and I wish to God I had heard more about UC Davis several years before, because it really feels like so much a better fit for me than UC Riverside was the first round. Della Davidson is was my main contact here, and the professor Della Davidson in the dance theater and dance department. And she's kind of, I don't know if shepherded is the right word, but encouraged, I think, or done outreach to a lot of, especially San Francisco Bay Area dance, theater artists, performance artists, to bring them into this program. And so I just got in touch with her and told her, you know, about what I was doing and my interests, and it worked out that I came here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, and all of us get to benefit from those choices this coming weekend at your performance. And if you had to point to something that UC Davis has equipped you with, now that you're thinking about completing your process in this particular institution, what in particular comes to mind?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Dr. Andy.
Yeah.
Seriously, I feel like the biggest gift that I've gotten from Della Davidson and David Grenke and other professors in the department is the ability to trust myself
mm-hmm.
as a thinker and as an artist and as a grown-up person. And as an educator, that getting back to some sense of trust in what I have to say and the unique ways that I have to say it
right.
are, I think, the most important thing.
That confidence is kind of analogous to the confidence we were talking about before with Joshua Harrelson and his work in the martial arts. That once you're like invested with that trust, and once you have an opportunity to practice it, you feel like you can take on just about anything.
Well,
don't you think?
Yeah, within reason.
Within reason.
Like maybe I should be more scared about climbing down this cargo net, but I feel pretty confident.
And do you think the evening gown makes you feel more or less confident as a climber?
Less.
Yeah.
Less. I was trying to just make a really hard assignment for myself.
Yeah.
Like sing this really hard song, climb down this thing, and wear a evening gown.
And Jess Curtis has the word gravity in his in one of his compilations, but gravity comes into play for you as well in this particular show.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, good. We'll leave it at that. I heard about some of this off mic, but those of you when seeing something sudden and exciting, practice the intake of breath that I think you'll have a chance to at least hear or maybe experience that at this particular show. You think that's accurate?
Yeah.
All right. There's a prediction for those of you lucky enough to go see Nina Gallen's show this coming weekend. I'd like to remind you that it's called Jointedness, and she will be there with Jess Curtis. Jess Curtis's piece is called Dances for Nonfictional Bodies. I encourage you to Google these two folks, Jess Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, and Nina Gallen, G-A-L-I-N. You'll find the press release from the Department of Theater and Dance here at UC Davis, and you will feel further compelled to attend the show either this coming weekend or the weekend after. Well, Nina Gallen, Joshua Harrelson, thanks so much for coming this afternoon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And thank you, Joshua.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Well, folks, stick around for some great music starting in just a minute. And a week from today, I will be joined not by two folks, but I think by about 15, as the students in my freshman seminar called Writing About the Future will all be grilled by me. It's their midterm exam, and they're going to prognosticate about technological futures on the spot and on the radio. Whenever I teach a freshman seminar, this is what my students get to enjoy as a midterm exam, and I hope that you get to enjoy it as well. That'll be me a week from today here on everybody's favorite poetry and technology program, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around for some great music, and I'll see you next time on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.